Welcome to Last Games Night on Earth, a podcast where we discuss if you were given just one last games night, what would you wish for? My name is James, and this is the Dungeons & Flagons podcast. Hello, Josh. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, James. Thank you for inviting me on the podcast.
No worries. Me and you go back quite far, don't we? I think we can say that we're good friends. I mean, don't come on my podcast to tell me that we're not. That would be very awkward.
It's now not the time to have that conversation.
I hate you. But yeah, we've not been able to have a proper drink for a year, so we're doing it tonight. If you all indulge us, we've both cracked open the wine and we're going to get drunk and talk board games together.
Keeping it classy with supermarket's own brand £3 bottles of wine.
Usually Aldi wine is excellent, but this one is awful. Quite clearly a rip-off of Echo Falls, but whatever.
Normally Aldi own brand alcohol is on the money.
Yeah, usually it's amazing. Like I say, I think this one, they've purposely made this one to be bad.
Just so you really get that Echo Falls experience.
I suppose some people might like it. So, right, well, we're here to talk about your last games night on Earth. But first of all, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. I'm Josh from Hive Mind Games, newly formed board games publishing. We're sort of in the process of our first big project at the minute.
Excellent. So we've got you guys coming back Tuesday, haven't we, to talk about that in more detail?
Yeah, it'll all have been announced by then. So it'll be a tell-all interview.
Oh, very exciting. Yeah, so that's going to be like DF Talks, where we do more like interview-based conversations rather than the Last Night on Earth. But should be good. Yeah, we'll keep all that for Tuesday. Should we crack on with your perfect games night?
Yeah, lead on, good sir.
No worries. So we'll start with food. All good parties start with food. What are you saying?
So I was thinking about this. I was running through my favourite types of food, which, as you know, sushi is right up on the list.
Yeah, right? We've both
got an addiction to the sushi.
Shout out to Ring in Manchester.
Chorlton's finest. I considered sushi and then realised that, you know, it's not really the best food to line your stomach for a night of drinking and gaming.
I don't know. There's a lot of rice.
I've had some bad experiences with heavy drinking and sushi. It is not as nice the second time round.
Oh.
So what I decided instead was a junk food spread. You get some lovely sliders, little burgers, loads of different toppings, bit of pizza.
All right.
You know, get wedges, fries. Yeah, like an ultimate junk food buffet.
Are we talking about like branded stuff? So you're getting like Burger King Whoppers cut up into sliders, or are we talking about...
Well, we go for the masterclass of all chips, which is Mackey's chips, of course. Get some wedges in there. I don't know who does wedges. Someone does. Get some different burgers in. Linda McCartney veggie burgers, because they're incredible.
Oh yeah, that's the point. You're veggie, aren't you?
I am.
Or pescatarian. Yeah. You're pescatarian, aren't you?
Yes, technically, yeah.
Fair enough. Bits of corn?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we're going to cater for everyone. I'm a gracious host, and if this is my imaginary super games night, then, you know, everyone should be catered for. So get some Big Macs in there as well. Get some Veggie Macs whenever they come about.
Excellent. So we've got the food. We've got a big spread of lovely fried goodness. What about drinks? What are we having?
I mean, my perfect drink to start any night is a Guinness, pretty much.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely love Guinness. It just sets me up for a good night of drinking.
Where does the best Guinness in Manchester?
Oh, I mean, that's more about where I have the most fun drinking said Guinness than anything. I've never been able to tell the difference. Not once have I ever noticed the difference between different Guinnesses from different pubs.
But you're wrong, because the best place to get a Guinness is poured by me at Flower and Flagon.
I might agree. That's the most fun I've had drinking Guinness. So,
so you're starting off with a Guinness. Is it just, are you just going to get a pump of Guinness all night, or...
Well, you know, you can't drink Guinness all night. It is liquid bread. It is heavy. You get about two in and you feel like you've had a second dinner. So then I think it's onto the cocktails.
Ooh. Are we talking like a cocktail bar off to the side with a cocktail bartender doing order, yeah. Taking orders?
Or absolutely. The grumpy bartender is a staple of any good drinking hall.
I am very well renowned as the grumpy one. At the bar.
Only to the punters.
Oh yeah, I'm nice to everyone else, but when people want things from me, I just can't be bothered. I really hope my boss isn't listening to this.
Not getting in too much trouble, are we?
So having a big old spread of fried goodness for the food, having Guinness for a starter, and then we've got a cocktail bartender off to the side doing bespoke cocktails.
Yeah, I want a bespoke espresso martini. That's the cocktail that has to be the cornerstone of the menu.
I make a very good espresso martini. Over Christmas, I was doing flat white martinis, which is basically espresso martinis, but with Baileys as well.
Oh, love it. I've been experimenting with the espresso martini during lockdown as well. They were something I used to go out and search for on nights out. We would go to places because they had a good espresso martini. Yeah, I love espresso martinis. They're equal parts alcohol and caffeine. Nothing sets you up for a night out than an espresso and a double vodka.
I'll be honest, I just think they're grim.
It's like a Red Bull for a vodka Red Bull for adults.
Are you saying that vodka Red Bulls are for children?
Well, I mean, I was drinking.
At what age should children start drinking vodka Red Bulls, Josh?
Anyone under about 22 is a child nowadays, so.
Well, so we've got the food and drinks. What about location?
Yeah, I'm going to one of my all-time favorite places ever. Fake place. Fictional place. We're going for the Hall of the Rohirrim in Rohan from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, nice. So when they find Théoden poisoned.
Yeah, Gandalf draws Saruman out of Théoden. It's just the ultimate sort of Viking long haul. Massive roaring fire, you know, massive epic ceilings. It's all bare wood and stuff. Looks cozy.
It is very cool. Fur. Yeah? Are you leaving your weapons at the door, or are you going to sneak one in?
Well, considering we're playing board games, I assume they're going to be styrofoam LARP weapons if we have any, so I don't think they'll bother to confiscate them.
Fair enough. All right, so the location is the Hall of the Rohirrim from Lord of the Rings. Excellent. Very cool. Music. Are you just going to have Howard Shaw playing in the background with an orchestra? That'd be cool.
I think I would like a full band, including like an actual band with guitar and drums and whatnot, and some orchestra. And I would like them to just play songs on request, like a 64-piece jukebox.
Oh, excellent. Like because a wedding band.
Yeah, but I want them to play everything. I know what I'm like on a night out.
I know what you're like on a night out.
That goes both ways, sir. I you know, during the first game, and we'll get there, you know, we're going to want them to play something a little bit more epic, but thematically appropriate. The second game, we're going to want them to play some theme music. And then I know that at the end of the night, I'm just going to want to hear wedding banger classics. When I'm 8 espresso martinis deep, 4 Guinnesses, I'm full of junk food, I want to hear the classic alt night bangers. Hey, it's 4 in the morning, I'm 12 drinks in, can I have the Beach Boys, please? The Beach Boys are unparalleled for fun night out drinking music.
I'm not arguing. If Beach Boys come on, and I've had at least one anything, really, I'm singing along.
One particularly strong tea and you're just ready to party to the Beach Boys.
Yeah, I'm not even going to deny it.
I mean, you know, also, I might want to hear some Enter Shikari, but that's just, yeah, a 64-piece orchestra with all the elements of a real band to play anything.
Yeah, I mean, there's 64 of them. Between the lot of them, they'll be able to go from Beach Boys to Enter Shikari.
And then back to Concerning Hobbits.
All right. So, music, 64-piece band to basically do your will.
I've done the opposite of what you asked. You asked what music I wanted, and I refused to pick and just said, all music.
Well, it's yours. Do you want to talk about some games?
I suppose we should.
What's your first game?
The first one, and now I've modelled my games night on these big games days we used to do when I was about 17, 18. And we would all pile over one of our mates' houses, whoever had the free house for the day and night. And we would turn up at, you know, a bright and early 1 p.m. We were 17, that was early. and we would just play all day until 4 a.m. It would just descend into drinking and party games. We'd start with some real games. So I'm starting exactly like I used to then. Warhammer Fantasy Battles.
All right.
I've been painting Warhammer 40K and Fantasy since I was about 9 or 10.
Excellent.
I still paint religiously to this day. And I never left Warhammer Fantasy Battles.
I'll tell you what. I've gone a very long time never needing to talk about Warhammer. 2 episodes into a podcast and all I do is talk about Warhammer.
I feel like when you're asking people about their favorite games, Warhammer's going to come up a lot.
Yeah, maybe I should learn something about it. So you don't play the current Warhammer edition, which is Age of Sigmar, am I right?
It's a whole new game, actually. So they Warhammer Fantasy.
Oh yeah, they ended it, didn't they?
They actually brought about, in lore, they brought about the end of the world and blew up the planet.
Wow.
The whole planet. And you know, supposedly that was because of, you know, rules bloat, which there was a lot. Armies were getting huge and unwieldy. The game was horribly balanced. And it was like impenetrable for newcomers to get into.
Were people happy about it?
It was very controversial. It still is. If you bring it up in a Warhammer crowd, you will get some very strong opinions about Warhammer Fantasy Battles versus Age of Sigmar.
For somebody who doesn't play it, how important is the lore to the game?
Yeah, I mean, there's,
does that
there's
make
a
sense?
Big... Yeah, there is a big... I mean, Warhammer Fantasy Battles, it's a huge Tolkien-esque fantasy, dense, you know, very, very dense, built, fleshed out fantasy world. You know, you touched upon the RPG last week. You know, the setting is so fleshed out, you can play an RPG there, a tabletop RPG.
Yeah.
When they reset the world, they went from sort of Tolkien-esque type, you know, relatively grounded fantasy, as it were.
Like European.
Yes, very, very Germanic and stuff. I mean, obviously there's magic and interdimensional demons and whatnot.
You find that in Europe.
Depends where you're partying, I guess. In Age of Sigmar, they went for a really like Norse, Yggdrasil type of setup, type of mythology, where there's like sets of realms.
Norway's still in Europe, isn't it?
The Norse mythology style. The setting completely switched up. It's entirely new. Some of the characters have the same names and personalities-ish, but it's a completely different game.
So why were people so annoyed? Because I'm sure you can still play it like you do. You can still play it. Were people just annoyed that was it, that there's no more coming? That was the end of the game that they loved?
Yeah, I mean, that's what was disappointing for me, I think. I actually quite like Age of Sigmar. I do play it. It's a little bit more of a skirmish game. It's a little bit more of that like beer and pretzels type of play. Whereas Warhammer Fantasy Battles, you know, you sit down and you could be in for a 4-hour game. It's, you know, it's heavy stuff. You've got 200 miniatures down and a big old army, especially because I play Night Goblins, which are a bit of a horde. It is a big, dense, I mean, classic retro fantasy game. You are wheeling about huge regiments and smashing them into each other.
Is that one of the main differences between the two? Sigmar is a bit more skirmishy and you just prefer really big, epic sessions.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I love sitting there. You've got a big army book. You've got dozens of options for building a hero. And I love sitting there and just tinkering with army lists. And I know exactly why people don't like doing that, which is when I go and play Age of Sigmar, because you can't do that every time. But I love sitting there and spending half hour, 45 minutes playing with options and, you know, building an army from the ground up my way.
Fair enough. Would you say that you miss it?
It's still there, to be honest. I've still got my army. I've still got friends who have their armies.
So what are you complaining about then?
No, I'm not.
I know. Some people.
What a setup.
How was the... Because of it, like I say, I know nothing about Warhammer. One thing that struck me to ask you was, how was the lore delivered as part of the game? So you bought your models, you bought your rule books and stuff. Where did you find like the lore and everything?
Being a you know, miniature battles game, generally speaking, a third to a half or more of the rule book is just world building and lore.
All right, so it's it's right there in the rule books. Cool.
Yeah. I mean, generally speaking, the first half of a Games Workshop, either 40K or Fantasy or Age of Sigmar book, is just lore. It's just world setup and lore and story. Some of the most beautiful art in there as well. Like, they really go all out on these things.
Ah, cool. What would be your favorite piece of lore?
Oh, from Warhammer Fantasy. It's got to be the orcs and goblins.
Oh, yeah?
They are the, I guess, the comedic relief of the setting. They are ridiculous, over-the-top Looney Tunes characters dropped in the middle of this otherwise quite seriously world. They've got units like, yeah, the Night Goblins, who get their guys hopped up on mushroom juice, which is definitely not some sort of psilocybin type thing. They give them a big spiky ball on a chain, spin them out from the front of their lines.
Like Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, basically. More green, but the same concept. And they spin them out from the front of their lines, and they just go like shot put and spinning around like a hammer toss without letting go of the hammer, and just go spinning off into enemy lines. They've got these things called squigs, which are little angry balls of teeth and mauling, and they hold on for dear life and get bounced across the battlefield. They're just completely ludicrous. They're ridiculous, and I love them.
Do you think they sign up for that job, or are they volunteer?
No. You know what? It's 50-50. Every goblin to a T is insane, and if you're the slowest insane goblin around, you get given the mushroom juice and the hammer and rolled out to get fly off into enemy lines.
I'd end up on the ball, wouldn't I?
I think you would, James, yeah.
After a year of lockdown, I am slow. one last question about Warhammer Fantasy. What army do you play?
Night Goblins.
So one thing that I do know, I mean, actually, I don't know. I don't know why I phrased it like that. You might be about to tell me that I'm wrong. But for the research for this podcast, one thing that I came across was that the idea that there isn't a good and a bad side.
There is.
Is that true?
I mean, there is a definitely evil side. Chaos and the demons, they are definitely bad. But there's not really a good guy. The elves are kind of stuck up and arrogant and cold. The dwarves are isolationist. Yep, it is not a friendly setting.
Right, so next game, what are we doing?
Yeah, so when we used to have our big games all day, is we'd play the heavy games during the day, and then we would settle in, grab some junk food, and settle in for a few hours of D&D. And that's what I would like to do. I'd like a good D&D session.
Hmm. Are you campaigning or one-shotting? What do you reckon?
I mean, considering
your last game's High on Earth, probably don't have time to do a campaign, do you?
Yeah, probably not. It's probably, I guess it will be a one-shot then.
Do you know when halfway through your when halfway through your podcast you realise your format doesn't quite work?
I mean, it would have worked fine if you hadn't asked that question.
Oh, I've asked it now. I can't edit it out, can I?
You definitely can. Just ask the next one and pretend you never did.
I haven't got a next question. It ends there. You DMing or... So are you DMing or are you playering?
I have had a long history of DMing, mostly because I was the only one willing to out of the friendship group. So I will not. I will treat myself. I will play.
It's going to be a lot of DMs that come on this show and say, no, it's my last game night on Earth. I'm fucking playing.
I'm actually playing in a regular weekly session at the minute. I'm not DMing it. It is wonderful. It is incredible. I just turn up. There's no prep. I don't have to write anything. I don't have to do four different voices every week for the different characters that I've had to write. It's awesome. I just show up. My character sheet's there. It's awesome.
Every DM listening to the podcast has just gone, oh, dick.
Every DM listening, I have transitioned to a player, and you can do it too. All you need to do is bully another DM that you know into hosting hosting and DMing the session.
Fair enough. I quite like DMing, to be honest.
I was the only DM in the group back home in sunny Essex for 6 years.
You say I was the only DM in the group. Now, was that because you wouldn't let anybody else DM, or people just wouldn't put in the effort?
It was 50-50.
I think everybody can DM.
I think everyone can DM, but it is effort.
It's just whether or not they're willing to. That's the difference.
I mean, you know, if you're going for it and, you know, you're trying to really push boundaries and push it as a DM, you do have to put a couple hours work in a week, plus actually being in the session. You know, you are in charge the whole time.
Exactly. Everybody can do it. It's just whether or not they want to. So everyone who's listening, next time you say, "Can I be a player next time?" And everyone goes, "Oh, I don't think I can do it." I'm fuck off. Yes, you can. Just do a bit of homework.
My group back home was 50-50, people not wanting to and people trying and the sessions falling apart relatively quickly. We had one of the gang who shall remain unnamed in the unlikely chance that they hear this, who was just...
Oh, no, this is very massive, mate. They're going to... got
bogged down in rules and systems a little bit when writing their own homebrew setting. And there was a lot of maths session to session that we, the players, had to do. We only made it about 3 weeks through that one. And then week number five, we took a week off. Week number five, I was DMing again on a new session, new campaign.
I don't think I could play D&D with somebody who is really about like getting into the nitty gritty of the rules, you know, following them letter by letter and, you know, optimizing them. That's what they say, isn't it? Like rules optimization. Like when they create a character, you know, they want it to be not the best character for them to play as, but the best character that the rules will allow.
Oh, the munchkins, the min-maxes.
Is that the word for it?
Yes, min-maxing. So it's when you deliberately choose your stats and skills to be as powerful as possible.
If it's what you want to do, and you find joy in that, then that's fair enough. I just probably won't play with you, which I think is important with role-playing games. It's fair to say, I just don't think we're going to play the same game, so we shouldn't.
Yeah, you've got to find a groove with your party. You've got to find, you know, that murder hobo, always sunny gang of players that just suits your mentality towards D&D. And, you know, the gang at the moment that I'm playing with, the weekly session, it is the most chaotic, always sunny in Philadelphia group of characters that I've ever played with. And it is perfect.
Yeah, sounds amazing. Cheers for the invite.
No comment. Anyway, next question.
So, favorite monster?
In D&D?
No, in general. Which fascist do you hate the most? we're going for a positive podcast. I'm not halfway through it, just going to drag up. So, dictators, what do you reckon?
Good, bad, still on the fence. How do you feel?
Favorite monster from D&D?
Okay, it's got to be the Mind Flayers. Love the Mind Flayers, trans-dimensional type bad guys. I love that they've got an aliens xenomorph from the film Alien style life cycle. You know, they kind of transform other people into more of them. I love their mind tricks. Massive fan of Lovecraft.
What's your best experience in D&D?
You know what? This is probably quite dumb, actually, because there's been some quite epic moments in D&D. You know, we've had heroic battles and, you know, desperate defenses and, you know, turns of situation that have flipped on their head and we've come out barely victorious. But I'm going to go for one that's fairly recent and not at all epic in any way. We were only returning to hand in a quest after a successful session, and we kind of walked into a little bit more than we'd bargained for. We'd bumped into this massive monster in Corey's homebrew setting, and it had kicked our asses. And then we mattered so little to it that it left. So we'd gone back to the quest giver to say, hey, what was that? Like, what the hell did we just walk into? What did you send us into? And we barged in, and all six of us in the gang were just yelling over each other at the character, in character. We were yelling at each other over at the quest giver. And I had a moment where I just stopped and stood back and realized we had finally gone full Always Sunny. Everyone was yelling over each other. It was ridiculous. I don't know how Corey, the DM, handled it so well. But we ended up crying with laughter.
If it was online, let's be honest, he probably muted you.
I think he muted us and went and got a cup of tea and came back a full 15 minutes later, and we're still just
right, children, carried by our own momentum. So we come to the last game of the night. What we ended the night on?
The last game is Champions of the Wild.
It's an excellent game. Do you want to give us a brief run through of Champions of the Wild?
Certainly. So in the game, you pick an animal out of a set that you're given. They become your Olympic team, animal Olympic team of dolphins or gibbons, whales, giraffes, whatever animal you pick. Three rounds are randomly drawn from various sports made up, various games like hide and seek and the high jump and volleyball. And you then have to make the best case against everyone else in the group. You have to make the best case for why your animal would win. You then have a round of voting, and the winner is whoever gets the most votes.
Because we've played this together, and we'll get into that. Because that was a fun night. But it's one of those games that's just so creative and imaginative, and
it hones in on everyone's favorite thing to do whilst drunk, which is loudly debate things at your friends. You have to argue with all of your people, all of the people you're playing with, about why your gibbon is better than a python at hide and seek.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It takes something that we all do already. It focuses it, makes a game out of it, and it's just amazing. I mean, so like Champions of the Wild, it's by Big Imagination Games. The designer, Tom Clare, is amazing. But the thing that stands out for me about it is the art. The art on that game is hilarious. So the art's by, the cards were done by Kevin Chapman, and then Dave Heaton and Dan Mission, like the graphic designers for the game. But the art in that game is just hilarious. And when, like you say, when you've had a few pints down, seeing an orca whale with a knight on its back jousting is enough to put you in stitches.
And when we were playing it, the first time we played in Chawton for your birthday, we ended up, like, the group ended up crying with laughter multiple times. I mean, everyone was a few pints drink, a few pints deep.
I think somebody's a few pints
drink. A few deep drink as well, apparently. That's my favorite part of the game, is when the group consensus comes around on a topic that everyone is, you know, someone's trying to argue in favor of their own animal or against someone else's. And there was a point where the group agreed that in a game of hide and seek, when the player who had the python had argued that they could hide in the pipes, somehow the group agreed, it came to the consensus that the python would freeze or drown in a pipe, and that's why he couldn't win hide and seek in a manor house. And just this, you know, the drunken group of idiots coming to that group consensus. And from that point on, it was just immutable fact. The python was just ruled out of the argument. Every time they piped back up with a new point, but like, no, we all know you just drown in the pipe, so it doesn't matter, and just move straight on. And it focuses that drunken, frenetic energy on something constructive and entertaining and harmless.
Champions of the Wild has become my go-to game for when we get a group of people at Dungeons and Flagons. Dungeons and Flagons, if you don't know, is the games night that I run in Manchester. Obviously not at the moment, but hopefully we'll get back up and going. It's great. Yeah, whenever people turn up, like groups of people who I can tell aren't really board game enthusiasts, they are more there for the social side. I would say that they're more there for a drink, but want to do something a bit different whilst having that drink. It is one of the games that I would push on them. It is all about the social elements.
Oh, I mean, like we said, it just focuses everything that you're already doing whilst drunk, whilst drinking,
yeah,
whilst with friends who are drinking. You know, even if you don't drink, you end up getting dragged into these, you know, these kind of long-winded debates and discussions. Mm. And it just focuses it on something ridiculous where you have to assume incredible positions, like my gibbon can win at hide and seek because it's got long, powerful forearms.
You are still standing by that.
It's true.
I mean, the one criticism that I would have from it, and we don't really do criticisms on this podcast, the voting could be a little bit neater, could be a little bit easier for drunk people to do. And that might just be me, because when I get drunk, I can't handle 10 chips and remember who I've handed them out to. But do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's the maths can get a lot for whilst drunk. I can't think of any way to do it better. For those who don't know, I guess you give out tokens rated 1 to 10, depending on how many players you've got. You know, one is worth more points. You award that to who you think's the most.
And they're all in your colour. And then at the end of the game, you total up what you were given basically by other players, don't you? So basically, yeah, I mean, you're awarding points to the other players around the table. Yeah, there's just a lot of chips going everywhere. And
there's a little bit of bookkeeping, yeah, but I can't think of any way to do it better. There's so many people at the table.
I think maybe just keep a track of the points that you're awarding to other people yourself. But then I'm not a game designer. I organize events and talk on podcasts. So hey, if you can think of a better way of doing the voting system for Champions of the Wild, get in touch with us at hashtag LGNOE.
That's audience engagement.
I'll be honest, I had to stop for 5 minutes to work out what the hashtag was. Oh shit, it's not even that, is it? Wait, one second. LGNOE podcast. Fucking nailed that, mate.
I had to mute myself then. I had the giggles.
There's nothing worse than on a podcast when you tell a joke and then the other person is just silent and you're just like, can I bring myself to just edit a laugh in?
Yeah, no, I had the giggles then. It was extreme considering you hadn't said anything funny when I started.
Oh, I haven't got anything else to say about Champions of the Wild. Have you got anything else to say about Champions of the Wild?
Buy it, play it, it's wonderful.
What an endorsement. All right, so we're going to move on. So but before we move on, your first game was Warhammer Fantasy Battles. Your second game was D&D. Sounds like a great one-shot you got planned. And your third game, I mean, yeah, I agree. Love it. Champions of the Wild.
Hey, what a way to round out the night. When you still want to play board games,
yes,
but you're a dozen drinks deep and couldn't possibly play anything serious, drunkenly arguing with friends about why your gibbon's better than their python is just incredible. And that's not euphemism.
So your guests, who are you inviting?
Well, this is probably fueled by people who I've seen on the TV in the last week, as much as who I'm a fan of. The second you asked me, who would you like to play with? I could have sworn I've never been a fan of anyone in my life. My mind completely went blank. But I was watching Hannibal at the time. So the first one is Mads Mikkelsen.
Mads Mikkelsen, the Danish actor.
Yeah, he's excellent. We watched Rogue One last week as well, in amongst Hannibal. So we've had a Mads-filled week.
He's an amazing bad guy.
He is excellent. Yeah, I mean, he's just elegant, full of class and style, and I suspect has a sense of humor. Have you seen Hannibal? Every episode is a new and incredible suit.
I don't watch horror films. They give me nightmares.
Oh, Bebby, that's adorable.
No, they give me full-on night terrors. Every horror film I've ever watched gives me four night terrors.
Do not watch Animal.
No.
Do not watch
Animal.
I won't. Series. Don't do it.
I was very proud of myself because I got through Dog Soldiers.
That's an action film.
It said it was a horror film on the box. And I was...
it's an action
I was
horror.
Pretty proud of myself. Mate, I'll tell you what. I watched The Ring. I pissed myself in my sleep. I don't know what it is, mate. Horror films.
I've seen you at some lows. How old were you?
Oh, God, I don't know. When did The Ring come out? Let's say I was that old.
This was a matter of months ago, wasn't it? It was
last Tuesday. Yeah, no, I don't know what it is, mate. I do not know what it is. I'm fine when I'm watching them, but then that night, nope.
I love horror.
I have terrible nightmares.
Horror is one of mine and the girlfriend's go-to genres. You get some really hammy, dumb ones. Yeah, there's some really tense ones. We watched Midsommar and Hereditary a few months ago in October for Halloween. Incredible. We were just like, just absolutely on the edge of our seats the whole time. And then you've got some really campy, dumb ones. Some of the old slashers and stuff. Just a whole bunch of fun. But Hannibal is the series. It is tense throughout. He is incredible.
Yeah, no, I can imagine Mads Mikkelsen being very fun playing like a dark D&D character.
Well, so he seems fiercely intelligent, incredibly pleasant and charming, but also he's made a couple of really dumb, fun films. And I think he has a sense of humor. I would love to see someone with that kind of mind taking the piss.
All right. Yeah, no, I totally agree. That's a great pick. And your second?
It's going to be Hideo Kojima.
Hideo Kojima, the Japanese video game designer.
Yeah, of Metal Gear Solid and Death Stranding. He's an absolute weirdo. He just tells the most bizarre stories. They're just dripping with anime, crazy storytelling. I absolutely love the games and would love to see what he comes out with on the tabletop.
Yeah. Have you got anything else you'd like to say about him?
I just think he would be an absolute wonderful little font of odd storytelling and character traits. And he's pals with Mads, because Mads was in his video game.
Oh, really? So I didn't know that. You've got a third guest for us?
Yeah, I'd love Kristen Bell to be in. She is just high on my list of celebrities to just hang out with. She's always seemed like an absolute laugh. Seems like she could just hang and take the piss and just chill.
See, if you are going to invite Kirsten Bell, you're gonna have to invite a husband.
Dax Shepherd. Yeah, okay. Dax is great as well.
Yeah, it looks like they play games together a lot. Are you okay with Dax showing up at your last games night on Earth?
I absolutely am. He also seems to be on that level of just duding out with the pals.
They're obsessed with Settlers of Catan.
Excellent. Are they really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now I like them even more. I didn't know that.
They once skipped a Golden Globes after party to go home and play Catan.
See, I knew she was on the level. That's incredible.
Yeah, they did a like a games night for charity where they invited people to play board games with them. I'm not sure how it worked exactly. I don't know if it was like a you win a spot at the games night, but yeah, they did a charity games night. And it's worth googling because it is funny. They in the trailer for it, they mentioned Settlers of Catan about 8 times. Dax Shepherd has Settlers of Catan socks.
Wonderful. Well, you know what? This is why she or both of them now are on my list of celebrities I just want to hang out with. They seem on our level. They seem like our people. That, and I would love to see the interactions between dudes Kirsten Bell and Dax Shepherd, you know, just hanging out, duding about, foul language, and the ever elegant Mads Mikkelsen.
I wonder how... I mean, Kirsten Bell's an actor, so I reckon she'd be down for D&D.
I think they already play it from what you're saying. If they're hosting board games, you've got to have gone through a D&D session or two to get to that point of board game fandom.
I'll have to look into that. Do a deep dive.
We'll do the research and get back to you, dear listeners.
We've done snacks, we've done drinks, we've done location, we've done music, we've done games, guests. But now, what's your random special item?
You know what? I think just to break up the board gaming session, I think we're going to go for a games console. It's going to be the Wii.
The Wii? It's really?
The ultimate party games console.
Oh.
Anyone can pick it up and play Wii Tennis and Wii Bowling and the party games.
GameCube.
What party games is the GameCube bringing?
It's your games night. Get it wrong if you want.
Yeah.
So you're bringing the... When... So your random special item is Wii.
Yeah, it's a Wii. You know, because when you've played, you know, 5 hours of Warhammer Fantasy Battle, before you jump into the next one, maybe you want some junk food and just a bit of Wii Bowling. Some tennis, some of those party games, just to break up the night a little bit. It's still on the vibe. It's still communal. It's still a lark. Play some Wii Bowling.
Still say GameCube. Have you tried the Ring Fit on the Switch?
I've not. No, I go outside for my exercise.
Oh, okay. Well, if you're going to be all superior about it,
no, I'm kidding. I can't afford one.
It's really good. So we're going to do the ABC game. ABCD.
C.
C. You've got a terrible joke from my joke book.
Yes, that's the one I was looking for.
I saw an Alsatian with horns yesterday. Or was it a bulldog?
Oh, Christ.
Yeah.
Jeez, I didn't even smirk at that one. That was awful. No, I love a good bad joke normally. That was disheartening. That was an anti-joke. It depressed me.
Let's move on. Very quickly.
That did the opposite of what jokes meant to do. That made me more unhappy.
Let's move on. Have you got anything you'd like to plug, sir?
Absolutely. Hive Mind Games. It is the beautiful brainchild of me and Corey Davis, who is an incredibly talented content creator. We finally decided to do a thing with it after talking about it for so long. We are ramping up to our very first Kickstarter for ZineQuest on Kickstarter this month. We are releasing...
What's ZineQuest?
ZineQuest is this awesome promotion that Kickstarter do, where they basically give a load of promo on the Kickstarter website to RPG-related mini zines. It's got to be A5. Cool. It's got to be stitched or saddle bound. So not so many pages. And it's got to be a single color print. We've got something really exciting planned for ours. I've already blown the lid on it being a Kickstarter. You'll have to hit up our social media to find out the rest.
I'm excited for it.
We've got real artists designing art for us. I'm genuinely proud to put this stuff out. It should be a lot of fun.
Sounds amazing. So you hinted at it being an RPG zine. So is it D&D specific, or
it is not system specific? There's going to be mechanics in there for systems. There's handouts available for certain systems. We're trying to keep it as broad as possible because it's really focusing on the narrative opportunities of a certain topic. And that's all I reveal. Really, it's about how to use them, how to get them into your game, and how to make them fun.
Use what?
Stuff. Things. if you want to find out, you're going to have to go and hit up the Hivemind Games social media.
What day is your Kickstarter launching?
That's going to be probably before this episode. We're looking at Tuesday or Wednesday.
What time's your Kickstarter launching? And I'll tell you when this podcast will be up.
I don't know. It depends when they authorize it.
Yeah, it's the same with the podcast. I'm going for Tuesday. So maybe it'll be
actually. That might be quite well timed.
All right. So where do you want people to go?
Go and find the Facebook and the Twitter We are Hivemind Games on Facebook, and we are Hivemind Creates on Twitter.
Excellent. Cool. Well, thank you very much, Josh, for joining us for Last Games Night on Earth.
James, it's been an absolute pleasure. It's beautiful catching up with you.
It has been really nice. And I wish you the best of luck with your Kickstarter in the future. Hey guys, just before we end, just want to give Verity, Mandy and Daniel a massive thank you for sending tips during last week's DNF pub quiz. It really helps. Thank you so much. Play the outro, big man. Let's call myself big man. As always, thank you so, so much for listening. If you want to get in touch with us about anything at all, find us on social media with @LGNOEpodcast or email us at lastgamesnightonearth@outlook.com. If you enjoyed it, please consider telling at least one person. It's the best way to help spread podcasts. And if you want to help support Dungeons & Flagons' events in the future and keep the podcast going, check out our Patreon by searching Dungeons & Flagons. I've been James, and this has been Last Games Night on Earth, a podcast by Dungeons & Flagons. Thank you.